Danny Hart, whose blood will save us unto us, is born. Unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our hair and walk us up, rob our sin.
We have a special presentation right now from our kids' ministries, but we want to begin with this right here.
This is Happy Holidays! It seems like every store you go to, people say, Happy Holidays!
Happy Holidays? Happy Holidays?
Even the schools are avoiding the word Christmas, like it's a bad word or something. So in case you're offended by Christmas music, I mean holiday music, we put together some special songs for you. I hope you like it.
Rockin' around the holiday tree with the holiday party hop.
Oh, holiday tree, oh, holiday tree, how lovely are your branches.
Joy to the world, the has come. Let earth receive its king.
Have a holly jolly holiday, it's the best time of the year. I'll have a blue holiday without you.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Holiday to you.
I'm dreaming of a white holiday.
Well, people may be avoiding the word Christmas, but not us. To us, Christmas is not Christmas without Christ.
He is the reason for the season.
We hope you have a Merry, Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas!
Why do we celebrate Christmas?
Because it's Jesus' birthday.
Your heart.
We're going to sing a couple of songs for you guys here. And the first song is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But we'd like you to join us on the second verse. Okay? You guys sing really loud. Dawson, I would like you to hold this out like this. Can you do that? Just hold it out just like this. Okay?
Okay.
Let's give them one more round of applause as they leave.
Doesn't get much more special than that, does it? Pretty precious. Heidi Dahl, it is so good to see you. Heidi's gone through two big surgeries in the last few weeks, and I thought it'd be months before we see her, but thank God that he's doing a healing work in your body.
Amen.
Really neat. And good news about the Garcia family, Mandy's home. Yeah. Praise God for that. Woo! Thank you all for your prayers. I'm getting taller. This is cool. Oh. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke 1:28. There's a note sheet in your bulletin if you want to check that out. We're going to be talking this morning about the faith of Mary and what we can learn from her as we also live a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. The Christmas story, it really begins here in Luke 1:28, where the angel Gabriel pays a visit to a young peasant girl by the name of Mary. And as we know, Mary was a virgin, and the angel announces to her that she is pregnant. She will be pregnant. And here's what the Bible says in Luke 1:28. It says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked, 'since I am a virgin.' Now, according to the law of Moses, adultery was punishable by stoning to death. So this is a big problem for Mary, as you could imagine. And the angel answered in verse 35, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.'" I want you to let this resonate in your heart this morning. The truth of God's word, that nothing is impossible with God. And verse 38 says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. In the movie, The Nativity Story, we get a glimpse of what Mary might have felt at that time when all this was taking place. Let's watch the scene of Mary and Elizabeth.
"Are you frightened?"
"Yes."
"Yeah.
A husband has been chosen for me. The law says I was to remain pure for a year. How is he to believe this?"
"Stay with us, then. We will pray for guidance."
"Elizabeth, why is it me God has asked? I am nothing."
"Oh, child.
Mary asked the question, "Why is it me?" Why was it Mary? What was it about this young girl that God decided to choose her? You have to remember, God is about to do something that is going to forever change history. God is about to become a human being, to take on human flesh. He is about to reverse the curse brought on by the sin of Adam. He's getting ready to save the world. This is no small thing. But the amazing thing is he chooses Mary to do it. If we're looking for... Boy, something's happening. I feel like I'm in a coffee can. We're trying out a new mic, so thank you for your patience. But if you think about the qualifications we would look for today in a certain candidate, we want somebody who is educated. Mary wasn't educated. We want someone that might have come from a wealthy family. Mary wasn't wealthy. Maybe someone who is mature. Mary was just a young peasant girl. But still, God chooses Mary to do this. God chooses this young girl named Mary. I remember last year when the U of A was looking for a new president, they formed a search committee. And through the search committee, they listed all these qualifications they want for in a university president. And then the job description, is made. And then they want to find that right candidate that will meet all of those qualifications. When God did a search for a person who would give birth to the King of Kings, there is one person who fit his qualifications. And there were several qualities of Mary that I believe if we build these into our lives, we will find the Holy Spirit using us in ways that you may have never imagined. There are many things we could talk about Mary. We could talk about her humility. her humbleness. We could talk about her servanthood. We could talk about her willingness to obey. So many areas, but I want to just focus this morning on a couple of things that I believe are germane to us as we approach 2009 as a family called Pathway of Hope. And the first thing is this. We must be receptive to hear God's word. For Mary, this was non-negotiable. We have to be receptive to hear what God is speaking through his word, through his spirit. There's got to be a new level of receptivity. And that's what we find clearly in Mary. What I find so fascinating about her is that she's not surprised that God was speaking to her or that an angel appeared. You know what I'm talking about? It says, is what he was saying that was that so disturbed her. But she's not surprised that an angel speaking to her. She wasn't like her uncle Zechariah, who was terrified at what he saw. But Mary seems to be able to accept what she's seeing. It's what she's hearing that throws her off balance, where it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. But the point I want to get to is that Mary was open to be spoken to God, to by God, and ultimately receptive to what God wanted to do through her. And so it must be for those of us who would hear and receive the word of God. If you look through the Bible, any person that God is ready to use, that person is ready and ready to obey God, ready to do his will. Not maybe not always immediately. Sometimes they have to work through it. I'm thinking of Jonah. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to the people. What does Jonah do? He goes to Tarshish. You know, I'm thinking about Moses. God gives Moses his assignment. Moses keeps saying, I can't do it. Use Aaron, you know. He can speak better than I can speak. But ultimately, you find people, men and women of God, open and receptive to not only hear God, but to do what God says. And I believe we at Pathway, we are on track with this. I want you to be aware of, just in case maybe you don't know this, that we do have a receptivity to do the will of God. In the fall, we began, I'm saying that, you know, we see, we care, we do. And we started preaching about God's heart for lost people and Jesus' heart for the least of these. And we spent a great, and you know what? Our church is doing it. There are several families that our church has adopted that are having a rough time this Christmas from the Amphi School District. Many of you have given food, you've given toys, you've given your time. It just, to me, it's amazing. We did it at Thanksgiving time when many of us went to the rescue mission and we served food. Consuelo won 11 people to the Lord that day. I mean, just really incredible things that I believe that we're doing here as a church. Many of you loving on the Garcias and helping out with childcare, helping out with food, decorating and painting rooms. This, to me, I love Pathway of Hope because we are receptive to be the people that God wants us to be. I can go on and on. I know I'm leaving many things out, but this is an example of being receptive and hearing God and doing his will. And Mary was all about being receptive to God's will, and I want to encourage you, let's keep on doing it. Let's keep on what God says to do. We do it. It doesn't have to be a complex thing. We hear God speaking to us through his spirit to love on someone, to help someone, to be there for someone. And we don't play tug of war with that. We go ahead and say, yes, Lord. For Mary, what she said yes to was about to perhaps cost her a lot. In fact, we know that Joseph wanted to divorce her. He was angry. He wanted to do away with her. Some translations say it's beyond anger. He was beyond anger. And I want to give you a glimpse of what Mary might have been feeling. Let's watch this.
She's back. She's back.
Mary. purposes. Joseph. Joseph.
An angel told you this, that you would bear the Son of God. Mary.
Elizabeth had a baby, even in her old age.
Elizabeth has a husband.
Women have been put to death for this. They could stone you in the street.
Do you understand?
You should have stayed with Elizabeth.
Father. Father, I have broken no vow.
Oh, you have broken every vow, Mary. Was it one of Herod's soldiers? Was it?
I have told the truth. Whether you believe is your choice. Not mine.
So Mary was willing to sacrifice everything in order to do God's will. And it begins with her mere willingness. She wants and desires to do the will of God. And as 2008, as it winds down and we approach a new year, but what a perfect time for us to say, God, this new year, I want to give more of myself to you. I want to be in your word daily, to hear what your spirit is speaking to me. Because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Be willing and receptive to what God is saying, to even go beyond that, to just want to hear what his voice is saying. Lord, what are you speaking to me in this situation? What is it that you are saying? Listen to the voice of God. We find that in Mary. And another quality we find in her is this, is that she has faith that is the kind of faith that God can use. And my encouragement to you is to replace your fear with faith. When the angel Gabriel tells Mary what is going to happen to her, what is Mary's reaction? Well, probably the same reaction you and I would have. Initially, she was greatly troubled at his words. And at first, there might have been a little bit of fear. In fact, we know she was afraid because the angel then says, Mary, do not be afraid. But I want to tell you this, that being afraid, having fear, there's no place for that in the life of a believer. There's no place for it because we are called to be people of faith. And I want to mention to you right here several types of fear that Mary might have, maybe she didn't, but I believe she might have. But these types of faith, these types of fear will definitely rob your faith. And the first one is the fear of criticism. What is everybody going to think? The fear of criticism. Now, for her, she might have said, I'm a virgin and I'm pregnant. What is everybody going to think? I'm going to be criticized. But I want to tell you this. If she were after man's approval, she wouldn't have agreed to God's plan. Clearly, people wouldn't have approved. Her reputation here was completely at stake. And I think that's why so many Christians today, that's why we don't sometimes share our faith with people or let people know that we're, you know, believers in Christ and sold out to do whatever he wants to do. We don't want people to know that we're that way because maybe we're have the fear of being criticized. I know it's especially for kids in school. You know, they want to just fit in. They want to not be looked down on, and they've got peer pressure and all these things. And sometimes the fear of criticism or the fear that their reputation will get worse, it prevents all of us from being the people that God wants us to be. And my encouragement here is let's get to that place where we're not about trying to please man. It's a very difficult thing for all of us. We want to please other people, but ultimately what we should be living for is to please God. That's the level of faith that God is calling us to. Paul told the Galatians, he said, am I trying to win the approval of men or God? This is when he was being criticized. He says, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that is so relevant for us. When we try to please other people or do solely what they want us to do, then sometimes we're serving them in a way that we can't serve God. If it's, regarding the fear of being criticized, we've got to get to that place where, we do things because we know God wants us to do it, regardless of what people might say about the situation. I know from experience, the fear of criticism will hold you back from living a life of faith. They just run opposite of each other. So Mary might have been in that same boat with the fear of criticism based on being pregnant without being married. Another fear might have been the fear of the supernatural. She's told that the Holy Spirit is going to be making her pregnant. And she might have thought, what's going to happen to me? I don't have a clue of how this is going to take place. What's going to happen? And we've been talking a lot over the last several months about the Holy Spirit controlling our lives and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I think it's scared some people. Some people have a fear of the spiritual gifts because it just sounds so mystical. They don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes that fear of letting God be completely in control, it scares us. And we just have that fear of the supernatural. It's especially tough for people with control issues when they want to be in control, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, God's going to do things that you would never imagine or expect. And we cannot have that fear of the supernatural. We've got to have a life of faith where, God, if this is what you want to do through me, I'm open and receptive to whatever you want done. I want you to be in control. Amen. All right. Cool. The other one is maybe the fear of inadequacy. Boy, I know this holds so many people back. And Mary might have thought, how can I handle this? I don't have the qualifications. I don't know how to raise the Son of God. And many, I believe, don't live the life that God intends because they simply don't feel adequate. Many even feel inadequate to minister to other people. Like, why would God want to use me? We've been talking several weeks ago. I spoke on the passage from Jesus, freely you have received, freely give. We know that if we've been through something that's been crazy and God's taken us through it, this is something we can give to other people. It's available to every single one of us. And I know that some people still are kind of afraid, even though maybe we've been given freedom over a certain area, we just don't feel qualified to give it to somebody else. We've been healed over a certain area. We're kind of timid. But that's not the life of faith that God has called us to. And I tell you, whatever hurt you've gone through, that might be your greatest area of ministry. Or maybe a spiritual gift that God has given to you, that would be an area for you to just step out in faith to minister here in the body or to those that you're in contact with. Because God wants to use every one of us. And we know that if God can use a poor girl named Mary who had no education, no wealth, no training, God can use any one of us if we get to that place of receptivity. Lord, here I am. Do what you want to do through me. I'm not going to be in control. I'm not going to put you in my box of what I think Christianity should be. No, I'm your servant. I'm willing and ready to do whatever you want me to do. Don't let the fear of inadequacy hold you back. Get rid of that fear. Another fear is the fear of the future. Again, I think many of us are here right now. Mary might have thought, how can I handle this? How will this change my life? How is this all going to unfold? And I think even right now, for so many Americans, for so many people, Pathway of Hope even, the fear of the economy, the fear of the future, what lies ahead. We see that everything that we on the news or in the papers points to more unemployment, more job loss, more economic hard times. And there is a fear right now of the future. Fear of how am I going to provide for my family. All the fear of all the uncertainties ahead. I believe it was no different for Mary. You know, I believe that Mary was in that same boat too. How am I going to handle this? How is it all going to fall? Because you know, you can't see the future, but yet she has faith. She has a faith that says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." That is one of the strongest statements of faith in the Bible. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She's completely putting herself in the hands of God. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's coming, but here I am. May it be to me as you have said. I'm going to live a life of faith. And I believe that she put her faith in God this way because of the promise that God gave to her, which is nothing is impossible with God. And that's what we've got to get in our hearts. Nothing is impossible with God. See, all of us, we have a belief capacity. Every single person in here, if something uncertain is about to happen, we can use that belief mechanism, that belief capacity, to believe that God is going to come through, which is called faith, or to believe that the worst is going to happen, which is called fear. Every single person in this room, we have a belief mechanism. We can believe God, faith, or we can believe the worst in the situation, which is fear. I don't care who you talk to today, it might be at school, might be at work, you're going to see a lot of people that are under fear. Fear is pervading our country. Even in our churches all across America, there is fear because we believe that the worst can happen. And I want to give you this encouragement as we face a new year. This is from God. Listen to this. If you're going to believe for something, if you're going to have the capacity to believe for faith. Use that belief mechanism to believe God's best, to believe that His word never fails, that nothing is impossible with God. See, even if you just believe that nothing is impossible, fear can easily invade that. But the truth of that scripture is nothing is impossible with God. If in your Bible, you want to circle the "with God." Nothing is impossible with God. With man, yeah, things can be doomed to fail. Things can be doomed to fall apart and just go haywire. Nothing is impossible with God. And if you're going to believe for something, put your faith and trust in God and believe for the best. Believe for God's intervention. Believe for God's direction, His wisdom. That is how we become a people of faith. Fear will cripple us. Fear and fear is cousins of worry and stress and anxiety. We're all prone to that, but there's no place for that in the life of a believer. Because we've got God's word that He's going to watch over us and protect us. And as we seek His face and righteousness, He's going to provide for all of our needs. Matthew 6:33. We have all these promises from God that we can grab onto. Just like Mary grabbed onto a promise when the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. That is for us too, to take hold of the promises of God. No matter what happens, no, we're going to believe God for God's best. As He walks us through whatever we may face. And I don't know where your heart is this morning or what God is speaking to you or maybe even asking you to do, but I believe you know. And maybe God's been speaking to you about an area of your life. And I want to encourage you this morning to have the courage to say, along with Mary, I am the servant of the Lord. I'm not the servant of the world, but I'm the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said, because I truly believe that nothing is impossible with God. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right. Well, everybody, as we close this morning, I want to invite you to think about what your gift to Jesus is going to be this Christmas. Maybe you haven't thought about that. You've been so busy thinking about what you're going to get the kids or what you're going to get mama or grandma or whoever, your spouse. But Christmas is Jesus' birthday, right? He's the birthday boy. And we thought about gifts for everybody maybe, and we've been going crazy trying to, you know, get the best deals. But have you thought about what your gift is going to be to Jesus. It'd be crazy for us to celebrate his birthday without giving him a gift. I want you to think about this morning what you can give Jesus this year, what you can give him as your gift. Maybe if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never opened up your life to him, you've never said, Jesus, I want you to come to be my Savior, to be the one that I live for. What a perfect gift to give Jesus this Christmas. Yourself. Lord, here I am. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but maybe you've just been kind of going through the motions and kind of been flippant about it, maybe half-hearted. What a great present to say, Lord, here I am. I'm coming back. I want that vibrant relationship with you once again. This is my homecoming. What a great gift to give Jesus. Or maybe there's an area of your life that you haven't fully surrendered. Maybe there's a place that you know that light wants to penetrate into, but you're holding back. What a great gift to say, Jesus, here I am. All of me is my gift to you. Or maybe it's a decision to place more faith in him. Maybe you've been weak in your faith and you've been living in worry and doubt. And maybe this is the time to say, Lord, my gift to you is my faith. I'm going to give you my faith. I'm not going to be a negative. I'm not going to believe for the worst, but my decision is to give you faith. Or maybe it's the desire to just want to be in his word all the time, to say, Lord, I want to meet with you. I want to commune with you every day, no matter what. That's going to be the first thing I want to do every morning. I want you to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. Whatever it is this morning, that I just want to encourage you to think about what you can give Jesus this Christmas. And we're going to have, I think, one of the warmest times together on Christmas Eve, because we're going to spend the last 20 minutes of our service just thinking through what maybe God is speaking to us, or what we can share that is going to be our commitment to give Jesus as our gift to him. So if you can make that service on Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the library, I guarantee you won't be disappointed. But this morning, even if as we close right now, would you just think through what you can give Jesus for Christmas? And it might be some of the things we talked about this morning, just that heart to be more receptive to hearing his voice, or to replacing your fear with faith. But whatever it is, would you just open your heart to Jesus right now and say, Lord, here I am. I want to give you my life. Can we all bow our heads right now? Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much, Lord, for everything, Lord, that you're doing in our midst, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, that you've called and you've chosen each one of us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you so much, Lord, that you were born into this world, Lord, to give us hope, Lord, and to give us a reason for living, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what we've learned this morning about the faith of Mary, Lord, and how she's an example to each one of us, Lord, as we strive, Lord, to be faith-filled believers in you. And Lord, I just ask you right now, Lord, whatever you might be speaking, Lord, to people this morning, that our response would be like Mary's, Lord. Here I am. I am your servant. May it be to me as you've said. May our answer be to you, just simply, yes, Lord. Lord, if there's someone in this room, Lord, that has never stepped across the line to invite you into their life to be their Lord and Savior, Lord, I just pray right now, even in these quiet moments, they would just say yes to you and would invite you into their hearts, Lord. We know, Lord, that's the best Christmas, Lord, we can ever experience, is coming to you right around this time, Lord, as we celebrate the reason why you came to this earth, Lord. We love you so much, Lord, and everything that you've spoken to us today, Lord, we want to just commit to you right now, Lord. We want to be people of faith. We want to be people that are holy and pleasing to you. So we commit these things to you in your precious name. Amen. Can we all stand? Let's close by singing How Great Is Our God. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? And age to age you stand, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. All is lifted. How great, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Let's sing name above all names. You're the name above all names. You're worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. With me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Let's give Him praise. Yes, yes, Lord, we worship and praise You. We adore You, Lord. We're going to dismiss you right now, but we will have our prayer teams up here to pray for whatever need that you may have, or maybe you want to just agree with someone in prayer that you're going to give more of yourself to Jesus, and you just want other brothers and sisters to pray with you. I invite you to come up as we're dismissed. God bless you all. If you're bored this afternoon, my kids are doing a concert at 3 o'clock at the Tucson Mall, the J4 Band, and then tonight at 6 o'clock at the Crossing Church by the U of A. So I'm hoping that we're going to tire them out good this day. God bless you all. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Hope to see you Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock at the library. God bless you. Sing with me.